Hello, welcome to our program on careers. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona. I would like to begin today's program with an article which appeared in the May 9th issue of the New York Times. Job market steadied in April. This article was written for the New York Times by Sydney Ember. Employers added 115,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate remained at 4.3%, despite higher energy prices and instability spurred on by the war with Iran. Hiring in the United States stood firm in April as businesses shrugged off uncertainty brought on by that war in Iran and by the higher energy prices resulting from the war. Employers added 115,000 jobs last month, the Labor Department has reported, surpassing economists' expectations and providing a note of cautious optimism that the job market was emerging at last from the low hire, low fire stasis that characterized much of the past 2 years. The unemployment rate remained steady at 4.3%. April was the second consecutive month now of solid job growth, following the 185,000 jobs added in March after revisions. At first blush, the numbers took on the sheen of an upward trend. The overall picture is not quite as chipper, however, and it is not yet clear whether the robust recent hiring is going to translate into enduring momentum. Taking into account dismal hiring in February, the last 3 months have added a relatively glacial 48,000 jobs on average. The labor force shrank in April, and the number of unemployed workers rose. Wage growth ticked up slightly, but has been trending down. We'll need to see a couple more months of this. It has been volatile, said Matthew Martin, who is senior economist at Oxford Economics. But if we do see sustained growth, obviously that would be a major positive for our economy. The jobs tally was taken in mid-April as employers were still evaluating the impact of the war in Iran. If higher gas prices persist and consumers pull back more broadly to compensate, economists anticipate that could dampen job creation and lift the unemployment rate again. For now, the job market does appear to be unbowed by the whirl of geopolitical uncertainty. Although healthcare and related professions and social assistance still dominated job gains last month, adding nearly 54,000 positions, healthy job growth also occurred in other sectors. Transportation and warehousing, an industry that has been buffeted by President Trump's unpredictable tariff policy, added 30,000 positions. The retail trade and leisure and hospitality industries also tacked on jobs, suggesting that businesses brushed aside concerns, for now, that consumers would pull back spending to compensate for elevated prices at that gas pump. Job losses remain exceedingly low, even as some high-profile technology and finance companies announced layoffs that stoked fears about the impact of artificial intelligence. The average work week rose slightly to 34.3 hours, suggesting that employers are not cutting workers' hours. Don Gallagher, the president of hospitality at Crescent Hotels and Resorts, a hotel management company based in Fairfax, Virginia, said that she was optimistic about the months ahead. Although there was some weakness in markets such as Washington, D.C., where cuts to federal jobs and other political factors were depressing demand, many of the company's 120 properties in the United States and Canada were performing well. Events this summer, including celebrations around the nation's semi-quincentennial, could buoy properties in cities around the country, she said. And the soaring cost of airfares driven by higher fuel prices could also prompt more Americans to travel domestically instead of venturing abroad this summer. As a result, the company, which has more than 10,000 employees, intends to keep its headcount relatively stable. We have some of those summer demand things that are going to keep the summer stronger than maybe if there wasn't anything happening in the summer, she said. Becky Frankowitz, the president of Manpower Group, a staffing company, said she was seeing evidence that hiring was picking up after last year's lull, particularly in the technology sector around AI infrastructure. Mathematicians and data scientists were in notable demand, she said. I spend a lot of my time speaking to executives, she said. This wait and see is giving way a little bit too. Okay, let's open the spigot just a little bit in very specific areas and start investing in the future. But there also were warning signs flashing through the April report and the broader economy as well. The number of workers employed part-time because they could not find full-time jobs bounced up by 445,000. Wages increased 3.6% compared with last year, but the rate has been broadly falling even as prices rise, pinching workers and forcing many to dip into their savings. And while workers who have jobs are generally secure, those looking for opportunities are often coming up empty. The unemployment rate for recent college graduates ages 22 to 27 has soared and stood at about 5.6% in the first quarter of the year, according to an analysis from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Megan Reinhardt Baird is one of the many young degree holders struggling to find a job. Ms. Reinhardt Baird, who is 24, graduated from Brigham Young University in 2024 and received a master's degree in international development from the London School of Economics in December. She dreamed of working a job related to social impact, and she began applying to positions last April while she was still in graduate school. She has been looking for a job ever since. Disheartened and increasingly desperate, she has broadened her search now to include entry-level jobs in market research and insurance. Between early January and late February, she said, she applied to 80 jobs, which she tracked in a spreadsheet. None resulted in an interview. Ms. Reinhardt Baird, who lives in Long Beach, California, said she and her husband, an engineer, never expected that they would have to rely on one income, though she said she felt fortunate that his salary has kept them afloat. Still, she is worried about her career prospects and her future. I feel less optimistic that I will ever have a job that will feel fulfilling to me, she said. Some days I don't feel optimistic that I will ever get a job at all. Reflecting this dour outlook, consumer sentiment in May fell to its lowest level on record, according to the University of Michigan survey. Whether and how long hiring can stay on a solid trajectory is not clear. The Trump administration's crackdown on immigration, along with the aging of the population, is shrinking the available pool of labor, meaning employers do not need to add as many workers to keep up with population growth. At the same time, unknowns related to the war in Iran and the effect of high gas prices could cause companies to curtail their hiring. We're still in the seventh inning here, said Beth Ann Bovino, the chief economist at U.S. Bank. There is no real win just yet. The next article that I would like to read for you today is also from the New York Times, the 9th of May. This article was written for the Times by Ben Castleman and Tony Rahm. And the title is, Congress is Doing Little to Prepare for Potential Artificial Intelligence Job Losses. As fears of AI-driven job losses mount, economists warn that unemployment benefits and other programs to help displaced workers are not sufficient. Economists are not sure if or when artificial intelligence is going to cause widespread job losses, but they do agree on one thing. The federal safety net is not ready for such a shock. The nearly century-old unemployment system, which provides out-of-work Americans with up to 26 weeks of benefits in most states, is unlikely to cover many of the workers who are most at risk of being displaced by artificial intelligence, labor experts are warning. Job retraining programs and other forms of aid designed for an earlier era of displaced workers have not been updated yet for the current threat, or in some cases have lapsed altogether. And Republicans in Congress last year made it more difficult for people without jobs to receive the food assistance and health care benefits that are meant to be the last line of defense for struggling families. The bottom line here is, if droves of Americans are disrupted by technology and turn to the government for help, they may find the aid insufficient, or worse yet, be ineligible to receive it. Economists disagree about whether or not such a wave of job losses is likely. Despite recent layoff announcements at tech companies, banks, and other corporations, unemployment remains low by historical standards. But surveys show that workers are worried about their job security. Economists have become more convinced that AI will displace workers in specific fields, even if it does not lead to the broader increase in unemployment that some in Silicon Valley predict. Overall, layoffs ticked up in March, but rose more significantly in the information sector, data released on Tuesday showed, which has been among the fastest to adopt AI tools. Still, there has been little preparation in Washington for a severe labor crunch. Nascent efforts to upgrade unemployment insurance have gained little momentum on Capitol Hill, and the Trump administration, which has embraced artificial intelligence and opposed efforts to slow its progress, has dismissed suggestions that the technology is a threat to jobs at all. Labor experts say that the government should begin preparing for AI job losses now, rather than waiting until the crisis has begun. After years of atrophy and neglect, they say unemployment insurance and other safety net programs are long overdue for an overhaul. Our systems are really built for a very different time, said Maria Flynn, who is president of Jobs for the Future, a nonprofit focused on labor force issues. Policymakers, she said, need to focus now on ways to push our systems to be more agile and more future-looking at this moment, where I think it's very likely that more workers and different types of workers are going to be relying on them. The COVID-19 pandemic showed us how critical government aid can be during economic upheaval. Over just a few weeks' time in the spring of 2020, remember that, more than 20 million Americans lost their jobs. Unemployment benefits, along with programs such as food stamps and Medicaid, provided a vital lifeline for many. But the pandemic also showed us how frayed the safety net has become. Archaic computer systems delayed payouts and limited the options available to lawmakers. Entire categories of workers, including contractors, gig workers, and many part-time employees, were not eligible for unemployment benefits at all. Congress passed a patchwork of temporary programs to fill the gaps, including pandemic unemployment assistance. But the programs, effective at helping many workers weather the pandemic, proved vulnerable to fraud and abuse. Many experts on unemployment insurance hoped that Congress, along with state agencies that administer the benefits, would apply the lessons of the pandemic and enact reforms to modernize the program and expand its reach. Had we just solidified that and fixed some of those issues, we would be better prepared for this AI apocalypse, or whatever happens, said Gbenga Akhil Lohri, who is chief economist at the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, a left-leaning think tank. Some states did take steps to upgrade their computer systems or adopt other reforms, but efforts by some Democrats in Congress to make gig workers permanently eligible for benefits never gained traction. And several states, including Kentucky and Iowa, passed laws reducing the number of weeks for which laid-off workers can receive payments. Partly as a result of all of this, the share of jobless workers who are receiving unemployment benefits has fallen close to a record low. The holes in the unemployment system could leave it particularly ill-prepared for AI-driven job losses. Benefit amounts are too small and durations are too short to support displaced workers while they retrain for other careers. In Florida, where benefits are particularly limited, workers qualify for a maximum of $275 per week for a maximum of 12 weeks. And that is if unemployed workers qualify for benefits at all. Recent graduates, for example, appear likely to be at the front lines of AI job disruptions, but most cannot receive unemployment insurance because they haven't worked long enough yet to pay into the system. And many economists also think that artificial intelligence is likely to push more people into gig and contract work, which the existing system does not cover. Our benefit system was built around a single employer relationship that more workers may not have, said Laia Pelageshvili, who is an economist at the Mercatus Center, a libertarian leaning think tank at George Mason University. Ms. Pelageshvili has argued that states should adopt portable benefits that allow workers to take health insurance, retirement plans, and other benefits with them when they change employers or strike out on their own. That would make it easier for AI-displaced workers to become freelancers or to start businesses. States should also develop ways to provide unemployment-style benefits to contractors when they cannot find work, she said. Senator Ron Wyden, an Oregon Democrat who helped to lead the unsuccessful effort to expand the unemployment system after the pandemic, is now working on a bill that would provide income support to workers who were displaced by artificial intelligence and pursuing career retraining. The proposal is meant to augment benefits that out-of-work Americans receive once they lose their jobs, according to the senator's aides. The bottom line to the Congress is it's important to show workers and working families that we're not going to sit back and let them have their livelihoods be run over roughshod, Mr. Wyden said in an interview. At the White House, aides to President Trump have dismissed the doomsday scenarios around AI. Kevin Hassett, the director of the White House National Economic Council, has insisted that the technology will make workers more productive rather than replace them. The Trump administration has focused on boosting artificial intelligence, particularly by encouraging investment. Last month, the president also asked the Labor Department to review federal worker retraining programs so that they are calibrated to serve emerging industries and companies. Asked about potential updates to the safety net, Pierre Yared, the acting chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, said the government needed to be mindful of policy trade-offs. The last thing that you would want to do is something that could somehow hamper the amount of innovation that we can experience, Mr. Yared said, adding, we simultaneously want to focus on minimizing the temporary disruption while also ensuring success. Many in Silicon Valley are less sanguine about the impact that artificial intelligence will have on workers. Tech executives have been urging politicians to begin planning for mass job losses. but they have focused less on reforms to existing programs and more on ambitious solutions, such as a universal basic income, which would provide cash directly to all families regardless of whether they worked. The idea has high profile adherents in the AI industry, including Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI, and Elon Musk, whose business empire includes an AI lab, xAI. Universal high income by way of checks issued by the federal government is the best way to deal with unemployment caused by artificial intelligence, Mr. Musk wrote in a post on X last month. Government policy, however, has been moving in the opposite direction. The tax bill passed by Congress last year included strict work requirements that make it harder for people without jobs to qualify for food assistance or Medicaid, the health insurance program for low-income Americans. It feels like there is one conversation happening in this very abstract way about if AI changes the world, then we want a basic income and we want a sovereign wealth fund. And then there's the real world conversation where we're making benefits more restrictive, said Aviva Aron-Dine, director of the Hamilton Project, an economic policy arm of the Brookings Institution. This is not the first time policymakers have confronted the possibility of job losses caused by shifts in the broader economy. In the early 1960s, Congress created Trade Adjustment Assistance, which was meant at the time to help workers displaced by globalization. The program, which went through numerous changes over subsequent decades, succeeded in helping some workers transition to new careers, research suggests. But limited funding and restrictive eligibility requirements meant that it never quite reached many of the workers it was meant to help. Congress allowed the program to expire in 2022. That failure had long-run consequences, not just for affected workers, but also for public support for free trade, said Jacob Leibenluft, who is a fellow at the Washington Center for Equitable Growth, who recently published a paper on the lessons of the Trade Adjustment Program. I do hope, and this may be over-optimistic on my part, that policymakers will have learned some of the lessons of trade and what happens when you lose the degree of public buy-in to a system, Mr. Leibenluft said. A more expansive safety net, he said, could help to ease public anxiety about the effects of artificial intelligence. Ideally, he added, policymakers recognize that being proactive in addressing that is important if you want to maintain social cohesion in a moment of economic change. The following article I'd like to read for you is entitled, Survey Shows Working During College Can Help a Job Hunt. This article appeared in the Arizona Republic on the 3rd of May. A study shows that prior employment doubles a graduate's odds. This was written for USA Today by Medora Lee. It's true, work does beget work, according to a survey by job website ZipRecruiter. Work experience can often predict whether a college graduate will land a job out of school, the survey showed. Working during college more than doubles graduates' odds of landing a job, 81% versus 40%, ZipRecruiter found after surveying between January 30th and March 16th. 1,500 students who graduated last year and 1,500 who will graduate this year. In a slowing job market where the share of entry-level positions is shrinking, competition is fierce among graduates, the report says. Knowing what makes a graduate stand out to employers can make a difference in landing a job, it also said. In a tougher job market, outcomes are not random, ZipRecruiter says. More competition for entry-level roles means employers can be more selective about who they choose to fill them. And data shows that the single strongest predictor of post-graduation employment is whether or not a student did work in any capacity during college. Work experience also speeds up the time it takes to get a job, the survey tells us. Advantage of work experience compounds, it said. Working during school builds a resume, but more importantly, it accelerates the entire job search timeline. When employers look to hire for entry-level positions, they expect they're going to have to do some training. So they're looking at whether or not someone can do a job and hold it down, said Corey Stable, who is a senior economist at JobSite Indeed. If you worked, showed up day after day, and did a good job, businesses take that as a signal that you're potentially a good worker. Business operations skills were the most sought after, Indeed found, after analyzing 3,000 job postings in the last 3 months of 2025. Customer service, 37.1%, and administrative, 35.8%. Skills led among the most desired business operations skills companies wanted, it said. Students who work during college also tend to begin their job search before graduation, 73% versus 43%, and are twice as likely, 20% versus 12%, to have a job lined up even before graduation ceremonies, ZipRecruiter told us. The type of degree you achieve can also matter when looking for a job. Liberal arts majors are likely to be the most disappointed with their job prospects, ZipRecruiter said. Many of them wish that they had pursued more scientific or quantitative fields, the report said. Almost 17% of English, literature, or journalism majors waited 6 months or more before landing a job, the survey showed. These graduates also accepted on the average 30% less in pay than they had expected. In contrast, nearly a third of the nursing graduates had secured a job before receiving their diploma, ZipRecruiter said. They also landed the highest median pay at $70,000, saying their earnings were 16.7% higher than they had anticipated. And nearly half of those about to graduate in 2026 and 56.3% of 2025 grads are already considering more school as an alternative to a traditional job, according to ZipRecruiter. Graduate school could be functioning as a hedge against a tough market as college graduates look to buy more time before entering the traditional workforce, the reports told us. This is all we have time for on our program on careers for today. I hope that you've enjoyed listening in and will enjoy the rest of your day. And thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.